Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. There's many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen, and I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 68 degrees, according to my phone, and it was a high of about 74 today. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. Super, no emergency traffic. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, maybe this week, last week, or maybe this upcoming week, or maybe an anniversary or something special that would like to come aboard? If so, please do so now.
Whiskey 4 Romeo Fox Juliet.
Well, Whiskey 4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet, what are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating that I got it through V-Day unscathed and in good health. Over.
Oh, wow, Roger. That's funny. I was trying to figure out what V-Day was, and I finally realized it was yesterday, Valentine's Day. But I hope that you had a good day. So this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And like we always say, we want to advise you that if you've been part of this recording tonight, you will be part of the podcast that is put on our website, usually the next day. So all stations participating will be part of that recording. Once again, our topic is amateur radio antennas. And I know this is Gordon's favorite subject, so I'm going to turn it over to him so he can start this party tonight. KY6V, are you ready?
I think so. Hey, thanks, Kathy. Good evening, one and all. KY6V here. Let everyone tighten their coax connectors and guy wires and get ready to discuss amateur radio antennas tonight. The program will be covering dummy loads to high-gain antennas with three fundamental golden rules to operate by. They are, one, use an antenna that is resonant for the frequency that you wish to use. Two, use a feed line that will handle the power of your transmitter and have a low figure for the noise figure for the frequency band you are using. And number three, place the antenna at the highest height that you can practically. So, with all of that said, remember also that ground is important. Let's see if our opening narrator, David in Wales, is ready to go. Mr. SZL, GW8SZL, KY6V, over.
KY6V from GW8SZL, I certainly am there, Gordon. And I think it started raining again over here. I think I can hear rain outside on the old window and on the ground. Kind of got 52 degrees, Foxtrot, 11 Charlie, and it's just gone midnight, of course, here. Okay, so I'm going to start off the proceedings this evening for the February TIN, all about amateur radio antennas. Okay, so here we go. In radio engineering, an antenna, that's American English, or aerial, British English, is the interface between radio waves propagating through space and electric currents moving in metal conductors, usually a transmitter or receiver. In transmission, a radio transmitter supplies an electric current to the antenna's terminals, and the antenna radiates the energy from the current as electromagnetic waves, also known as radio waves, of course. Now, in reception, an antenna intercepts some of the power of a radio wave in order to produce an electric current at its terminals, and that is applied to a receiver to be amplified. Antennas are essential components of all radio equipment. Without an antenna, you're no good at all. An antenna is an array of conductors, also known as elements, electrically connected to the receiver or transmitter. Antennas can be designed to transmit and receive radio waves in all horizontal directions equally, also known as omnidirectional antennas, or preferably in a particular direction. And these are known as directional or high gain or beam antennas. Let me reset. An antenna may include components not connected to the transmitter, such as parabolic reflectors, horns, or parasitic elements, which serve to direct the radio waves into a beam or other desired radiation pattern. Strong directivity and good efficiency when transmitting is hard to achieve with antennas with dimensions that are much smaller than about a half a wavelength. The first antennas were built in 1888 by German physicist Heinrich Hertz in his pioneering experiments to prove the existence of waves predicted by the electromagnetic theory of James Clerk Maxwell. Now, Hertz placed dipole antennas at the focal point of parabolic reflectors for both transmitting and receiving. And starting in 1895, Marconi began development of practical antennas for long-distance wireless telegraphy, for which he actually received the Nobel Prize. Now, the words antenna and aerial are used interchangeably. Occasionally, the equivalent term aerial is used to specifically mean an elevated horizontal wire antenna. The origin of the word antenna relative to wireless apparatus is attributed to Italian radio pioneer Marconi, and in the summer of 1895, Marconi began testing his wireless system outdoors on his father's estate near Bologna, and soon began to experiment with long wire aerials suspended from a pole. Now, in Italian, a tent pole is known as l'antenna centrale. I hope my Italian pronunciation was okay for that one. And the pole with the wire was simply called l'antenna. Until then, wireless radiating, transmitting, and receiving elements were known simply as terminals. Because of this prominence, Marconi's use of the word antenna spread among wireless researchers and enthusiasts, and later to the general public. Antenna may refer broadly to an entire assembly, including support structure, enclosure if any, etc., in addition to the actual RF current carrying components. A receiving antenna may include not only the passive metal receiving elements, but also an integrated preamplifier or a mixer, especially at one above microwave frequencies. Antennas are required by any radio receiver or transmitter to couple its electrical connection to the electromagnetic field. Radio waves are electromagnetic waves which carry signals through the air or through space at the speed of light, with almost no transmission loss whatsoever. Antennas can be classified as omnidirectional, radiated energy approximately equally in all horizontal directions, or directional, where radio waves are concentrated in some direction. A so-called beam antenna is unidirectional, designed for maximum response in the direction of the other station. Whereas many other antennas are intended to accommodate stations in various directions, but are not truly omnidirectional. Since antennas obey reciprocity, the directions, but are not truly omnidirectional. Hang on, I missed that. Sorry, start again. Since the antennas obey reciprocity, the same radiation pattern applies to transmission as well as reception of radio waves. Now, a hypothetical antenna that radiates equally in all vertical as well as all horizontal angles is called an isotropic radiator. However, these cannot exist in practice, nor would they be particularly desired. For most terrestrial communications, rather, there is an advantage in reducing radiation towards the sky or ground in favor of horizontal directions. Now, a dipole antenna, orientated horizontally, sends no energy in the direction of the conductor. This is called the antenna null, but is usable in most other directions. A number of such dipole elements can be combined into an antenna array, such as a Yagi-Uda, in order to favor a single horizontal direction, thus termed a beam antenna. The dipole antenna, which is the basis for most antenna designs, is a balanced component, with equal but opposite voltages and currents applied at its two terminals. The vertical antenna is a monopole antenna, not balanced with respect to ground. The ground, or any large conductive surface, plays the role of the second conductor of a monopole. Now, since monopole antennas rely on a conductive surface, they may be mounted with a ground plane to approximate the effect of being mounted on the Earth's surface. Okay, that's the first section of tonight's program. Has anybody got any comments or would just like to check in and say hello? This is GW8SRL with the SCAS Thursday Information Net.
Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. Victor United 2, Mike Delta Alpha.
And Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray. Good evening, just a check-in. Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, VK2DY.
Kilo 2, Hotel America.
Okay, from TW8SRL, I've got Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. I've got Mr. Bernie, long time no here there, Bernie. Hope you're keeping well. That's Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray. He's a check-in only. I've got Robert down there, Kellyville Ridge in Sydney, Australia. That's Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee. And Fred, Kilo 2, Hotel Alpha. There was a key up on the All-Star side of things, but there was no audio. So I'm going to see if there was any other stations before I go down the list. Any other stations would like to check in and any comments for the first part of the Thursday information at this month? So please call now. Okay, no further takers. So we're going to go to Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. Welcome to the Thursday information that there, and thank you for popping in and saying hello. Do you have any comments or questions, I wonder? If not, just pop in and say hi there. Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha from GW8SRL.
Very good morning, Dave. Very good morning, good afternoon, good evening to one and all in this frequency, in this net. Thank you very much for letting me in for regular check-ins on this mega net platform. Dear Dave, good morning, good afternoon to Mr. Fred and all my friends in this net. Happy to hear that about your long, what about that antenna, details of antennas, what is antenna, and what kind of different kinds of antennas for propagation, and what is propagation, what kind of antennas are used for what kind of propagation, very useful to me, as well as very useful to all those who are listening in this frequency. Thank you very much, dear Net Control. Here, Indian Standard Time, around 5:45 a.m. here, Friday morning in South India. WX in my QTH, somewhat 28 degree Charlie, breezy morning outside the shack. Yes, I am in walking mode. That is the info here. Kind permission, I would like to say my 73 stone and all there. Mic back to the Net Control. From Victor Uniform to Mike Delta Alpha, sounder from India. 73 is bye-bye.
Yeah, Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha, Sunda, from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Yep, antennas. Without antennas, we wouldn't get very far for sure. You can have the most expensive transceivers, and, you know, if you don't have a decent antenna and a good piece of coax, it's not going to do you very well at all, for sure. Okay, thank you, Sunda. I've got the time there. We're over here in the UK. And we're just gone midnight. What time is it now? We're 18 minutes past midnight on Friday morning. So thank you very much for popping in and saying hi. Great to hear from you as always. Okay, I'm going to clear with VU2MDA, Sundar over there in India. And I said Bernie KA9WDX was a check-in only. So we're going to go down to Sydney in Australia. So Robert, VK2DY. Go ahead there, Robert, and... Like, what time? Morning your time, I think. What time would it be? Yeah, probably about 20 past 11, something like that, a.m. VK2DY from GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, VK2DY here. Thank you for running the net. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate the information about antennas. You're spot on the time. It's actually 11:19 a.m. Friday morning here. 23 degrees Celsius, I guess 75 Fahrenheit, and overcast, raining on and off. We have a rain system running from north of Brisbane to south of Sydney, and it's all raining along the whole coast pretty much. Anyway, other than that, thank you again for the antennas. Yeah, antennas absolute necessity, and I think we need. It's a good idea to spend time looking at the fundamentals of antennas and trying to understand how to make them better, because a cheap radio with a good antenna will do just fine. VK2DY, back to that.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SZL. Yeah, and if you want to go into the really into antennas in depth, the mast is absolutely phenomenal. I'm sure you're aware of that one there, Robert, as well. But just throw up a bit of wire and see what you can do. You'd be amazed sometimes. Absolutely amazing. But, yep, definitely have a decent antenna as high as possible. And, you know, when it gets windy and storms and all the rest of it, if you're not worried about your antennas falling down, they're not high enough. Okay there, Robert. Thanks for checking in, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon. Okay, so last on my my list here, before I pass it over to the Chief, W4RSJ, to continue on, is Mr. Fred, K2HA, the happy amateur. Go ahead there, Fred, from GW8SZL.
Okay, GW8SZL, okay, this is Fred K2HA over here in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Antennas. I enjoy playing with antennas, trying to figure out exactly how to do, if it's possible to do a long wire that you could have one end go up about 50 foot on a tree, and then a horizontal feed to that, the same wire, then go to the connection. An L shape. I don't know if that would work. But anyway, thank you very much for hosting your part of the net tonight. And we're listening with intent and open ears. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Yeah, okay there, Fred. Well, there's only one way to find out is try it. You know, some way antennas are, you know, sort of running around gardens left here, up and down. You know what I mean? Trying to fit them into a small space. They work great, but if you do exactly the same thing with a different QTH, they just don't work as well. And of course, it's very difficult to judge on the HF antennas because band conditions, of course, as well. So it's a bit of a complicated one, to say the least. But it's great fun. That's what it's all about, having fun. Okay, thanks there, Fred. And that puts me down at the bottom of my check-in list for the first part of the Thursday information for February. So I'm going to see if Mr. Chief is over there in Ridley Park. Not Ridley Park. I'm going. It's late. That's Pennsylvania. Rainbow Springs. It's been a long day. W4RFJ, it's all yours, my friend, from GW8SZL.
I was about ready to jump up and complain. Well, thank you there, Dave, GW8SZL. This is W4RFJ and the Thursday Information Net for February 2024. To carry on here, more complex antennas increase the directivity of the antenna. Additional elements, also known as parasitic elements, in the antenna structure, which need not be directly connected to the receiver or the transmitter, basically increases the directionality. This directionality is measured in gain. The word gain describes the concentration of radiated power into a particular solid angle of space. Gain is perhaps an unfortunately chosen term. By comparison with an amplifier gain, which implies a net increase in power or energy, in contrast for antenna gain, the power increased in the desired direction is at the expense of power reduced in the undesired directions. In a sense, those parasitic elements help form that electromagnetic force into to a certain direction. Unlike amplifiers, antennas are electrically passive devices, which conserve total power, and there is no increase in total power above that delivered from the power source, otherwise known as the transmitter. Only improved distribution of that fixed total. A phased array consists of two or more simple antennas which are connected together through an electrical network. This often involves a number of parallel dipole antennas with a certain spacing depending on the relative phase introduced by the network. The same combination of dipole antennas can operate as a broadside array. In other words, it's directional, normal to a line connecting the elements, or as an end-fire array, directional along the line connecting the elements. Antenna arrays may employ any basic omnidirectional or weakly directional antenna type, such as a dipole, loop, or slot antennas. These elements are often identical. Let me grab a nickel. Log periodic and frequency independent antennas employ self-similarity in order to be operational over a wide range of bandwidths. The most familiar example is a log periodic dipole array, which can be seen as a number typically 10 to 20 of connected dipole elements with progressive lengths in an end-fire array, making it rather directional. It finds use especially as a rooftop antenna for television reception. On the other hand, a Yagi-Uda antenna, or simply a Yagi, with a somewhat similar appearance, has only one dipole element with an electrical connection. The other are parasitic elements that interact with the electromagnetic field in order to realize a highly directional antenna, but with a narrow bandwidth. Okay, let me reset time. Even greater directionality can be obtained using aperture antennas such as the parabolic reflector or horn antenna. Since high directivity in an antenna depends on its being large compared to the wavelength, highly directional antennas, thus with high antenna gain, become more practical at higher frequencies such as VHF and or UHF and above. At low frequencies such as AM broadcasts, arrays of vertical towers are used to achieve directionality, and they will occupy large areas of land. For reception, a long beverage antenna can have significant directivity. For non-directional portable use, a short vertical antenna or small loop antenna works well, with the main design challenge being that of impedance matching. With a vertical antenna, a loading coil at the base of the antenna may be employed to cancel the reactive components of impedance. Small loop antennas are tuned with parallel capacitors for this same purpose. An antenna lead-in is the transmission line or feed line which connects the antenna to a transmitter or receiver. The antenna feed may refer to all components connecting the antenna to the transmitter or receiver, such as an impedance matching network, in addition to transmission lines, in addition to the transmission line. In a so-called aperture antenna, such as a horn or parabolic dish, the feed may also refer to a basic radiating antenna embedded in the entire system of the reflecting elements, normally at the focus of a parabolic dish or at the throat of a horn, which could be considered the one active element in that antenna system. A microwave antenna may also be fed directly from a waveguide in place of a conductive transmission line. An antenna counterpoise or ground plane is a structure of conductive material which improves or substitutes for the ground. It may be connected to or insulated from the natural ground. In a monopole antenna, this aids in the function of the natural ground, particularly where variations or limitations of the characteristics of the natural ground interfere with its proper function. Such a structure is normally connected to the return connection of an unbalanced transmission line, such as the shield of a coaxial cable. Resetting timers. All right, I had to catch my breath on that one. Okay, an electromagnetic wave refractor in some aperture antennas is a component which, due to its shape and position, functions to selectively delay or advance portions of the electromagnetic wavefront passing through it. The refractor alters the spatial characteristics of the wave on one side relative to the other side. It can, for instance, bring the wave to a focus or alter the wavefront in other ways, generally in order to maximize the directivity of the antenna system. This is the radio equivalent of an optical lens. An antenna coupling network is a passive network, generally a combination of inductive and capacitive circuit elements used for impedance matching in between the antenna and the transmitter or receiver. This may be used to minimize losses on the feed line by reducing the transmission line's standing wave ratio and to prevent the transmitter or receiver with a standard resistive impedance needed for its optimum operation. The feed point location is selected, and antenna elements electrically similar to tuner components may be incorporated in the antenna structure itself to improve the match. It is a fundamental property of antennas that most of the electrical characteristics of the antenna are the same whether the antenna is transmitting or receiving. Aside from your radio, the most important piece of equipment you own is the antenna that your radio is connected to.
There are many different types of antennas out there, and choosing the right one for your radio can make a big difference in how it performs. Okay, at this point, I'd like to take some check-ins and see if there's any comments or questions concerning what I've just covered. This is W4RFJ with the February Thursday Information Net. Do I have any relays? Okay, hearing none, let's turn it over to the Alien Life Form. KE5ALF, are you ready to go? This is W4RFJ.
Well, thank you, Chief. And hello from Kilo Echo 5 Alpha Lima Foxtrot, your resident alien here in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Let's take a look at the most popular types of antennas for VHF and UHF operation. I'll start with the rubber duck. The first type of antenna that most radio users come into contact with are the small vertical antennas found on most handheld radios. These antennas are jokingly referred to as rubber ducks because the antennas consist of a rubberized jacket over a helical radiating element. In general, they are not very good antennas. In fact, there's even a question on the technical license exam about rubber duck antennas. Question number T9A04 reads, what is the disadvantage of the rubber duck antenna supplied with most handheld radio transceivers when compared to a full-size quarter wave antenna? The answer is, doesn't transmit or receive as effectively. To improve the performance of your HD, also known as a handheld transceiver, you can replace the supplied rubber duck antenna with a more efficient antenna. Most handheld replacement antennas aren't quite as long as a quarter wave, which is 19 inches, but some do come close. One of the more popular replacement antennas, for example, is the Nyogi NA771 at just under 16 inches. This antenna is close to a quarter wave vertical antenna and much more effective than the typical rubber duck antenna, which is shipped with most of your handheld transceivers. But be careful, though, because this antenna is so popular, unscrupulous vendors are selling counterfeit antennas. To ensure that you are buying the real thing, consult the Nyogi website for information on how to identify fake antennas. Next, let's talk about the roll-up J-pole. Another antenna you may want to consider for use with your handheld is the roll-up J-pole. This antenna is a favorite for portability and emergency communications because not only is it a very effective, efficient antenna, it can be rolled up and stored in a backpack when not in use. Let me reset here real quick. Another antenna that you may want to consider for use with your handheld, skipped a line. This type of antenna is available from several different vendors, but it's quite easy to build and makes a good construction project for new hams. All you need to build a roll-up J-pole antenna is a 60-inch length of 450-ohm ladder line and a length of 50-ohm coax. Make a few cuts to the ladder line, solder the coax to the antenna, attach an appropriate connector to the opposite end of the coax, and you're ready to go. Now let's discuss mobile antennas. Designs vary, but there are basically three different types of mobile antennas, the quarter-wave vertical, the half-wave vertical, and the 5/8-wave vertical. In general, the taller antenna, the more gain the antenna will have. So if the bulk of your operation will be in town, close to repeaters, a quarter wave vertical should work well for you. If, however, though, you will be operating in fringe areas much of the time, then a 5/8 wave vertical antenna may be a better choice. A half wave vertical antenna offers more gain than a quarter wave antenna, but less than a 5/8 wave antenna. It does, however, offer the advantage of working well when a good ground plane isn't available. So if your vehicle has a fiberglass or composite material body, then a half-wave antenna might be a very good choice. Now, where to mount your mobile antenna? Where and how you mount a vertical antenna is important. In general, you may want to mount the antenna where it will have the most ground plane, such as in the middle of your vehicle's roof. Unfortunately, this isn't always possible. The antenna may, for example, be too tall to fit into your garage. If that's the case, then you will have to mount the antenna to your vehicle's trunk lip or fender or purchase an antenna that can be folded down when you park your car in your garage or in a parking structure. Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask for any comments or check-ins before I turn it over to the next narrator. Okay, seeing none, this is KE5AOF. I'm going to turn it over to KO4UMQ. Woody, are you ready, sir?
Well, good evening, Greg. Yes, sir, I am, and thank you for your part in the narration, and the thank you to the other narrators so far. This is Woody, KO4UMQ, and continuing our discussion on the subject of mobile antennas, let's talk about mobile antenna connectors. The connector used to connect the antenna to the mount is important too. Antenna mounts are available with NMO connectors, UHF connectors, and 3/8 inch studs. The most antenna manufacturers make versions of their antennas with two or more of these connector types. Ensure that the antenna that you purchase will mate with the antenna mount that you have. Now let's take a look at base station antennas. Base station J-pole up first. Even though base stations generally run higher power than HTs, they need a good antenna too. J-poles make good base antennas. Although the design of a base station J-pole is somewhat different than a roll-up J-pole. A popular design for a two-band J-pole antenna uses a piece of aluminum angle and three lengths of quarter-inch aluminum rod. This type of antenna is also available from several different companies, but if you want to try building this antenna yourself, you can find plans at novembertango1kilo.com/open-stub-jpole-project-completed-many-times/. A ground plane antenna, another antenna that's popular and effective in the ground plane antenna, or is the ground plane antenna, A ground plane antenna for the 2-meter band consists of an SO239 connector and a 19.25-inch vertical radiator element and four 20.25-inch elements to form the ground plane. The elements are made with stiff wire or welding rod, and like the J-pole, ground plane antennas are also available commercially. Let me reset. Next, let's talk about Yagi antennas. If you're out in the sticks or find it difficult to access a repeater, you might want to consider a Yagi antenna. Yagi antennas are directional antennas, meaning that they concentrate your output power in a particular direction. This directionality is also a disadvantage. If you wish to communicate with repeaters or other hams that are in the opposite directions from your location, you will have to be able to rotate the antenna. VHF and UHF Yagi antennas are available from a number of different manufacturers. Next, the dipole antenna. Another option for a base station antenna is the dipole antenna. Because a 2-meter dipole is only about 3 feet long and a 70-centimeter dipole antenna is even shorter, you can easily build a dipole and mount it vertically. If you can't mount it outside somewhere, you can tape it to a window or a wooden window frame. As with other base antennas, the higher up it is, the better it will work for you. Be a little creative. If none of these options are good choices for you, say because you live in a home governed by a restrictive homeowners agreement, or an HOA, don't despair. Some hams, for example, have good luck simply using a mobile antenna on a magnetic mount plopped on top of a file cabinet or other metal surface. On this one, be a little bit creative also. And just as a reminder, it is illegal to transmit on amateur radio frequencies without an FCC license, and always follow FCC regulations when operating on amateur radio. And before I turn it over to Dave, KB9EWG, are there any stations with any comments or check-ins? If so, please call now.
Hotel Alpha.
Well, good evening, Fred. K2HA. Go ahead with your comment.
Fred Woody, this is Fred, K2HA. Yeah, when I was in a condo, it was difficult to, they had restrictions on antennas, so I had taken a wire, ran it out the sliding glass door, actually underneath it, the frame, and ran it over to the downspout on the building, which was five stories tall. It worked. It worked. And I ran a wire to ground. So creating antennas is a heck of a lot of fun. The only problem with the downspout antenna, it picked up all the signals inside the building, too. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, thank you for that, Fred. Yeah, I've seen some different configurations for those folks that are unfortunately in those restrictive areas like condos and HOAs. And building antennas is fun. I really enjoy it. So far, I've built a roll-up J-pole. I've built a couple other dipoles and verticals and horizontal ones. So it is a lot of fun building antennas. That's one part I really enjoy. So before I move on, are there any other check-ins or comments? If so, please call now.
Whiskey for Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Go ahead, Chief, with your comments, please.
Very good, Woody Squared. This is W4RFJ. You know, I've been reading up and getting ready to experiment with the what they call the NFED half-wave antenna. And I'm led to believe that if you take a half wavelength of wire for whatever band, and I'm going to use 20 meters as an example, and you cut into the exact halfway point, you can put a capacitor there and adjust that capacitor to increase the resonant frequency of that antenna. So from 20 meters, let's say 14 megahertz, you can increase the resonance to get, 17 meters? Possibly 15 meters and 12 meters. And then, of course, you would reshort the centerpiece together to be able to use it on 10 and 20 meters, which is 14 and 28 megahertz. Anyway, I'm going to be putting together one of those bad boys as a transceive antenna in an L configuration. And it's a pretty neat antenna. You can use it as a random length or NFED RL, EFRL, random length, or you can use a half wave of the lowest band you want. So if you had one for 160 meters, you could use it on a 160, 80, and 40, and 20, and possibly even 15 and 10. So that's it. People might be interested in looking it up and checking out those NFED wire antennas. Back over to you, Woody Squared. You're sounding great down here in Rainbow Springs.
Well, thanks, Chief. Yeah, you're sounding good up here in Harlan County, Kentucky. And, NFED antennas, I've kind of scratched the surface on those. Those are kind of neat. I did the high school here. They bought MFJ makes one that's NFED, and it does multiple bands, so that's kind of a neat antenna. It's not very expensive, but that is definitely one to look into. So I'm going to see if anybody else has got any comments. Anybody else got a comment out there? Call now.
KB9EWG.
KB9EWG. Go ahead, Dave.
Good evening, Woody, and everybody else on the net. I've got a couple of those NFEDs sitting on my desk in front of me right now. that I'm going to be going into my backpack with my backpack radio for going out and doing hams in the park this summer. And you're talking about the roll-up J-pole. Well, I've got a dual-band roll-up J-pole in my living room hanging from my ceiling on a plant hook hooked up to a mobile dual-band radio, which allows me to operate on my apartment here. So very effective antennas there. KV9EWG.
Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate the comment on that. Yeah, it is kind of a neat-looking antenna. And like I said, I built a roll-up J-pole, and it works pretty good, too. And it was fun to build. I enjoyed building antennas. So anyone else with any comments? If so, please call now.
Okay, so I just say good evening, all. And I do have one of them 300-ohm roll-ups.
Well, thanks for the comment. You got anything else you'd like to add?
Nope. I just was going to stop in and say hello. I am doing decent this week. So we'll catch you guys, and I'll be listening along. King Charles 8, Fox Queen Victor, Mark.
Well, thanks for dropping in and saying hi. It's good to hear you this evening. Anyone else out there? If so, please call now. All right, not hearing none. I'm going to turn it over to Dave. KB9EWG, take it away, sir. The mic is yours.
Okay, Woody, thank you so much, and good evening to all. I do have a caboose this evening, so good evening. This is David, KB9EWG, and since this is the final segment, this evening I will be using it to highlight some of the items covered in this evening's presentation here. The three important things to remember are make sure the antenna is resonant on the frequency that you are working. Make sure the feed line will handle your power level and further has a low loss figure at higher frequencies. And place the antenna in the highest point practical. Make sure the feed line impedance is as close to that of the antenna that is possible. Make sure you have a good station ground. This is to supply a good ground plane to your system and help lightning conditions. Standing wave ratio should be less than a 1.5 to 1 for best results. It is not necessary to worry about deep electrical theory in antennas unless you intend to design in something yourself there. At this point, do we have any further comments, questions, check-ins, or anything else before I wrap up the night here? This is KB9EWG.
VK3BSJ listening via EchoLink.
I didn't quite catch your call, but did you have any comments? If so, go ahead.
I think that was VK3SHJ.
VK3SHJ. Well, thank you, Fred, and good evening to you there, sir. Does anybody else have any comments, questions, just a check-in or anything else before I wrap up the night here? This is KB9EWG.
This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, top of the evening to you, Fred. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, David, and thanks all the presenters tonight and those who put together the program. I want to give a shout-out. Thank you very much for that. Antennas are, they are primary. It is the pride and joy of ham radio to be able to build an antenna. I was listening to a station in the States talking to a German station, and the guy said, well, I want to improve my signal. I'm going to buy an amplifier. And the German station came back and he says, forget that. Just go get a better antenna. And he was right. So, yeah, we're going to be playing around with a few different antennas here, and we're going to see what they do. I'm going to create some new ones, I think. Thank you very much, David, and thank you for everybody who presented. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, as many others have said, you could have a cheap radio and a good antenna and work the world, and you can have the best radio there is and a poor antenna and not get out across the street there. So, you know, and antennas is definitely a big part of your system there. I know I've had lots of luck over the years with many different homebrewed antennas I've built. One of the first antennas I ever built was a coaxial dipole. that I use. Actually, before I became ham, he was on 11 meters. Then when I became ham, trimmed it down to 10 meters and was using it quite effectively. Another antenna I've had good luck with there, Fred, was built a slinky dipole, and I still have that in my kit to this day, and I take it out to field days and things like that and use it there. So, great antenna, made out of two slinkies. Anything else from you there, Fred? K2HA, KB9EWG.
Oh, well, thank you very much, David. Just inviting everybody to the Rag Chew on Saturday and Sunday night, same time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 0 hours Zulu. And I see that somebody tried to get in on All-Star, and I apparently doubled with them. Thank you, David. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, well, thank you, Fred. And don't forget to check into Fred's Evening Rag Chew on Saturdays and Sundays there. Okay, before I tie the ribbons on this, I'm going to take one more standby for check-ins, comments, questions, anything else. This is KB9EWG looking for any questions, comments, or check-ins. Okay, hearing nothing further, thanks for coming. This has been SCARS, the OIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website, scarsvoip.com. That is SCARSVOIP.com. This is David, KB9EWG, and the SCARS staff. Now closing the session at this time. I also just want to give a quick shout out to Gordon for such an excellent script this evening there. So thank you all. Great net this evening. The net is now closed and turning the server back to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG saying 7-3 and good evening.